about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In the beginning, man's world was no larger than his eye could see. His horizon no further than his legs could carry him. The far side of the earth was a mystery, so vast an earth, so little time, until now, until the birth of this new age.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, no. There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think we need this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Smell it.
No, 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 no!
I'm sorry for the realness.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You had me at hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It gave me a boner.
Roll another one.
Zoom, zoom.
Just like the other one.
Said nobody ever.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I like ball play.
Oh, lady.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I get it.
Roll.
Play. Do you? You know anybody who's ever been to a play? Why would you? You have a television?
But don't bogart that joint.
Don't call me on the phone.
Just pass it around.
Can you get the EPA involved, maybe? Is it?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hey, man.
You. But just pass it on down.
And now.
Were a lot of learning experiences.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good question. I miss Muggs. Remember when Muggs was alive?
I do.
No, he just has today off. He was here yesterday.
He wasn't here today though, so I just assumed he must be dead. So I thought.
I know that's your assumption, but it has been wrong every time.
Put a little tribute together in the open for the dearly departed Muggs, who I wish we had been nicer to him when he was alive and he still worked here. Because
Kevin just said he's still alive.
He is still alive.
Yeah, he's. He's having trouble accepting the truth.
Who's I think
he's,
the call?
He's in denial. I think it might be me.
It's the wheel of strange sounds coming out of Bean. Every day it's something new.
In my defense, all right, I don't have a defense.
No,
it's the air conditioning company. They're coming over. It's 7:30 in the morning, and they're coming over, and they're just never mind.
Right.
Hey, you do your thing, and then I'll do my part.
Okay. Hey, everybody, it's Kevin and Bean Show. It's an all new show for a Friday morning, which is the 23rd of September.
All of that is very true. Yes. You know how from time to time we'll do a story. In fact, we just earlier this week we were talking about. The beer goggles, the scientist who decided to take on beer goggles and spent a bunch of money and did a big controlled scientific experience to find out if people's sexual inhibitions change when they drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. And we look at it, we go, well, pretty much that didn't really need a study, right?
Right.
Who are these scientists that dig deep into these things that we already know? And this is kind of related to that. I thought this was a little bit interesting. There's something called the Ig Nobel Awards. Have you guys heard about these?
No, sir.
Mm-mm.
These are not – or maybe it's the Ig Nobel, like the Nobel Prize. But this is in its 26th year, and this is organized by the magazine The Annals of Improbable Research. So these are researchers who are kind of outside the mainstream pursuing their own projects, and maybe this will be one of those deals where we go, well, why are they even why are they wasting their time? The prizes are
intended to – Hey, you won the Gravity is Still a Thing Award. Congratulations.
Right. The prizes are intended to celebrate the unusual, honor the imaginative, and spur people's interests in science, medicine, and technology. One of the prizes this year was for Egyptian urologist Dr. Ahmed Shafiq, who put rats in different kinds of pants to find out if it had any effect on their sexual activity. So he dressed up rats in polyester pants.
Sure.
Then pulled those up, put some cotton pants on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then some wool.
Yeah.
Then a polyester cotton blend trouser.
No.
And he wanted to find out if there was something about the electrostatic field around the genitals. Mm-hmm. The kinds of...
Oh, no.
Right? If the kinds of pants
this is
you
important
wear,
research.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know. Maybe
yes.
There's okay. That's that. We got that. Maybe there's some sort of correlation to how it affects humans, and maybe he might find out. Hey, if you wear polyester blend pants, you'll be less horny. I don't know what the point is of the research, but that's what he was doing. There were two Brits among the winners this year. Thomas Thwaites spent 3 days living with a herd of goats. He designed prosthetic limbs. No, 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 definitely not. Not even a little bit, Kevin.
He was living with goats.
Right, he wasn't starting a family with a goat. He was just living with a goat.
All right.
So he built prosthetic limbs that allowed him to walk on all fours and graze with the animals on a farm in the Alps because he wanted to see what it was like to be a goat.
So these awards are for people who are just straight crazy.
Yeah.
Well... I think they're doing research that's maybe a little bit outside
that's
the margin.
That's a lot outside the margin.
How do you get a grant for that is my question.
Right.
I'm going to go live with
prosthetics
goats.
And I'm going to graze.
Are you just spending your own dough? Yeah, that's a good question, Ellie. I don't know where the money comes from this. Charles Foster, who was jointly awarded the prize in that same category, the biology category, he also lived in the wild. He took on the perspective of a badger, an otter, a fox, and a red deer. And he wanted to find out if animals see the world differently than we do. And I think the answer to that might be yes.
Yeah, but you didn't even have to do that to guess at that. And,
right.
And you're right.
The economics prize went to a team for assessing the perceived personalities of rocks from a sales and marketing perspective.
Personalities?
The personalities of rocks. And I think, and I didn't have as much time to look into this as I would like, I think what they were doing is they were trying to determine what it is about objects that make us feel a certain way about them when we look at them. Like the personality that we give to an inanimate object based on the way it looks. And I think she's trying to tie that into how advertising works.
Hmm.
It's a little too deep for me, but there may be something there. Frederick Sjoberg has written a 3-volume book about his pleasures of collecting dead flies.
No one's reading that.
I already read the first volume.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's got two more.
Okay,
does it need 3 books on that?
No.
Good Lord.
That's the literature prize. And one more. This is two men with complicated Japanese names who won the perception prize. They did an investigation on whether things look different when you bend over and view them between your legs.
No.
Unless you're really flexible, no.
What I'm saying.
So
get that view.
They woke up in the morning and they said, I see what things look like this way. What if I bent over and look at it between my legs? Would they look different?
And then did a study on
but
it.
That was their research.
Come on.
The first part, I understand them saying that.
Right.
But everybody else in the world saying, that's stupid, stop it.
Like mm-hmm. When you're drunk, you're like, what would it look like this way? Oh, that's crazy. And then you move on.
Right.
Their paper was called The Perceived Size and Perceived Distance of Targets Viewed from Between the Legs, Evidence for Proprioceptive Theory.
Oh,
is
sure.
That's the name of their paper.
So you're telling me that these aren't just random examples. These are winners? These are people who won the award?
These are people who won in the various categories for the Ig Nobel Prizes. And by the way, in case you're wondering, not only do they get the applause of their peers, but they win $10 trillion.
Whoa, that's
not
a
joke.
Big prize.
Not, really US, not a joke.
Not a joke. Not,
what does that mean?
Not U.S. dollars. They're Zimbabwe dollars, and that, I think, works out to about $100 in their devalued currency. So you win 10 trillion Zimbabwe dollars.
Hmm. And you got that from where? The Onion?
The Zimbabwe Times?
No. This is a real story. Yeah.
Huh.
I'm looking at the guy's paper with the view in between the legs from ScienceDirect.com.
Yeah,
it's a real ceremony. 26 years in a row they've had that ceremony. So there you go. So that's what's going on in the world of science.
All right,
yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
K-Rock,
Right? Mm. Movie Beat, because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. RJ Bell, because it's Friday. He's going to give us his picks for week number 3 of the NFL. We're going to talk to Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy.
Formerly the LA Galaxy.
Playing currently with the LA Galaxy.
We had Mr. Donovan on when he had announced his retirement,
right, yes,
and he talked about how he was done.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he came back.
I mean, I remember
the
call.
He's played in 2 games and he scored 1 goal already. So
you can't play if you're not on the team, Kevin.
Right, but I'm saying he came out of retirement and now he's an active player.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. Live music from the Strumbellas today.
What?
Excited about that. We always love the live music and WWE Raw tickets today as well. We'll give you a chance to win those. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat Night. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
What a delightful, charming way to start a Friday morning, that song.
That is delightful and charming.
I mean, that'd be a good song to wake up to, right?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on, man?
If you want to get rich, be an actor.
Okay.
According to Forbes magazine, they just released their list of highest paid TV actors. As I mentioned before, Forbes magazine exists only now to release lists of people and their salaries. But this is over the past 1 year. List of the top 15 highest paid TV actors. As always, we'd love to play along, see if you can guess who maybe the top 10 might be.
Flavor Flav!
Flav just outside at least the top 15, according to this list. Do not see him.
Dick
here,
Poop.
He is not.
Be real!
Not.
Jesus.
Not.
Charlie.
Not.
Mason.
Some goofball in a hat.
Not.
A red shirt.
Not.
Johnny Asshole.
Not.
Fan Bing Bing.
Not.
Is she a
That's
queen?
A woman, by the way. Not. That's a baseball player.
A turd tornado.
Not.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Not.
Count Smokey Love.
Not.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not.
That boy.
Not.
Boba Fett.
Not.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Huell Howser.
Not.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Not.
I feel like Ralph
Vin Diesel
is ready to
Vin
just
Diesel.
Pass
Vin
this part
Diesel.
And get to the list. I'll take a serious guess.
Today's
Ralph,
celebrity birthday, Skylar Astin is 29 years old.
No,
sorry,
no,
all out of time.
Too much of a tease.
Anthony Mackie turns 38.
What about the thing with the people who make the
wrestler Matt Hardy's 42 years
Let's
old.
Let's talk about the thing.
Jason Alexander, remember him from Seinfeld, right? He is 57.
And he married Britney Spears
old.
Over that weekend.
No,
remember?
That was a different Jason Alexander. Oh, same
sorry.
Name, different gentleman.
Sorry.
And the boss himself, Bruce Mother Lovin' Springsteen.
Yeah.
Hardest working man in show business. You want a 4-hour show? You go see him. Go check him out. Him on stage, singing, dancing, bringing up children onto the stage, endangering their lives. Bruce Springsteen is 67 years old today.
You're really not going to do the list?
No. But next hour. It's a tease. It's what's known as a tease.
Okay.
We'll be back in the next hour. We'll give you the answers.
One more guess.
Steve did make it. I will give you that much. Steve is on the top 10 list.
All right, great.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just after 7 this morning, RJ Bell with his picks for week number 3 of the NFL.
I was very sad for you, Kevin. I saw your tweet last night about how close you came to winning some money on the
right.
Thursday night football game.
Thought it was a lock.
What'd you have? You had the Texans plus 26,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, so close.
Just yep. Texans scoring a point. Was that your wager? That they might score a point?
That was an insane and an insanely boring game.
It was awful. It was an awful game.
And how much is Brock Osweiler? Is that how you pronounce it? Osweiler?
Yes,
Osweiler.
Osweiler.
How much is he making? How much did he get to go to Houston? It was
too
tremendous
much.
Amount of money.
Too
right?
much money.
Yeah, way
yeah,
too much.
Yeah,
they're not feeling good about that at this point of the season, that's for sure. All right, it is Friday morning. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Friday means Ralph is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Quite a mixed bag this weekend of movies. I've always said this time of year you get the most interesting films because there's not a lot of competition with the big budget actioners and things like that. And that's the case, but although we do have a couple big films that are going to dominate the box office this weekend. Let's start off though with some of the smaller films in limited release. Excuse me, a little comedy called My Blind Brother, starring Nick Kroll, Adam Scott, and Jenny Slate. Jenny plays a lovely young lady who's got some relationship issues, and she ends up being involved with two brothers, Nick Kroll and his handicapped blind brother, Adam Scott, who's just a dick in this film. It's so nice to see a handicapped person being portrayed as an a-hole in a feature film. Very funny concept, and these three very likable performers. This should be a great film. Here's some clips from the trailer of My Blind Brother.
I met a girl. She wants to help me train.
Who is she?
Hello.
Billy, you can say hello.
We actually have met before.
What? How do you guys know each other?
Socially.
You didn't tell me that your brother was blind.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I was blindy.
Oh, he kissed me, and then I said, oh, I don't feel that way about you. And then he just looked really sad, so I kissed him.
Because you didn't want him to look so sad?
He's incredibly nice.
Yeah.
I love Jenny Slate.
She's great, and the film looks very fun. Limited release. You're going to have to seek it out if you want to find it, but it might be worth your while. Then The Queen of Katwe. The Queen of Katwe. This is a film from Disney. Very uplifting, true story about a young Ugandan girl whose life changes 100%. She goes from selling corn on the streets to pursuing her dream of being an international chess master once she is introduced to the game of chess in her small town in Uganda. Story, the same story with you, Kevin, right?
Didn't you? Exactly. When you Thank you for noticing, Ralph.
Once you were exposed to chess, you pursued your dream of becoming an international chess
and
master.
And I conquered the world.
You did conquer the world. Mm-hmm. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Queen of Katwe.
Why are you letting her win?
I'm not letting her.
You can see it moves ahead.
Checkmate. She won.
You could be the best in all of Uganda.
Coach, how can I become a champion?
Sometimes the place you are used to is not the place you belong. You belong where you believe you belong. Where is that for you?
This is not the ghetto.
Checkmate.
This year's gold medalist, Fiona Mutes.
It's like the Rocky of chess.
Sort of is, yeah.
Is that the one with Lupita Nyong'o?
Yes.
Love her, too.
The Dressmaker also opens up in limited release this weekend. Another amazing cast. Kate Winslet, Judy Davis, Liam Hemsworth, Hugo Weaving. Story of a glamorous woman who returns to her small rural town in Australia to, well, basically wreak revenge on the small town that ruined her life. But in the process, she also changes everyone's life because she comes back a very sophisticated dressmaker. And she changes the lives of these poor people just by changing the way they look and feel about themselves. So it's not a Kevin film. Don't get me wrong.
Get that right.
But I still think it looks like it's got a lot of potential. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Dressmaker.
You can transform people. That's very powerful. Use it.
Gertrude Pratt. The dance is Saturday night. I could make you something.
A dress can't change anything.
Watch and learn, Gert. Watch and learn. Take your clothes off.
A murderer and a lesbian.
Who is that?
Stunning.
I think Tilly understands my particular body shape.
She certainly does.
Go on, making their dresses. Make them think they're classy.
They'll still hate you.
They'll still hate you. Pelt you with their boomerangs and their didgeridoos.
But
make a crawl a pee on you.
A monster attacks the dance, though, right? Or something.
No, it's just about
really?
People.
Nothing for Kevin.
It's about
okay.
people talking right. to each other.
That's I heard weird. Murder and lesbians.
Well, she leaves the town because she was accused as a small girl of killing another child.
Oh.
But was not the case.
But she is a lesbian.
She's not a lesbian either. She's asking the girl to take her clothes off so she can make a dress for her. But her mother, is an awful, awful woman who did not stand by her daughter in her early years. And so she continues to sort of belittle her even in the face of her success.
Well, I hope she doesn't make her
back.
A dress.
Well, Allie.
Same.
I will see it, just to make sure.
With a dress comes forgiveness, I believe. I've always said that.
You have always said that.
Storks opens up this weekend. Storks. If you've got a kid, you're probably going to go see Storks. Funny concept where storks have moved on from the baby delivering business. They have upgraded, and now they're almost like Amazon, where they deliver goods to people instead of babies. That's an old school thing, is the babies being delivered by storks. However, things go awry when one baby does slip back into the system. And a stork played by Andy Samberg and a young girl played by Jennifer Aniston have to find some way to make things right, deliver the baby, and also save the company of storks. Here are some trailers.
What is that?
It's a baby!
Storks don't deliver babies anymore.
If this baby finds her family, then maybe I can find mine.
You'll find your family.
You think?
For sure.
This is crazy! We are delivering a baby!
If anyone finds out about this, I am dead meat!
Powder! Baby powder!
Looks cute, right?
Sure.
Katie Crown, Kelsey Grammer also star in that film. And lastly, The Magnificent Seven. Ah, good old-fashioned Western. A bunch of dudes with some guns shooting other dudes with guns, but some are bad and some are good, and you want the good guys to shoot the bad guys with the guns. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio all star as a ragtag group of mercenaries who take on the challenge of saving a poor village against a bunch of a-holes. Seven men against 100. Can they win? You can when they're the Magnificent Damn Seven. Here's Denzel telling one of the bad guys' posse members that, well, he's laying down the law if he wants his town.
You tell Bo, if he wants his town, come see me.
There's some shooting, some horses, and some stabbing.
That's for me.
Some shooting, that's for Kevin.
What a cast.
Because Kevin, you know, he's a scholar of the Old West.
That's correct.
He knows all about...
Also a gunslinger.
...the late 1800s, and looking forward to getting Kevin's take on the realism, whether it's a realistic depiction or not, of that time period. Because, of course, Kevin, you remember the president of that time.
Sure. Arthur B. Hayes.
There you go. President Arthur B. Hayes was really changing the landscape of America during that time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers playing Staples Center in March. We got tickets you can win starting at 9 o'clock this morning, all day long, up until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And everyone who wins today qualifies for a trip to see the band another time, this time in New York City. The winner will be announced for that at 5 p.m. So again, 9 o'clock this morning, your chance to win your Chili Pepper tickets locally and be qualified to win a trip to see them in New York. Details at KROQ.com.
Disney has a movie called Moana, and it has not come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they put out Halloween costumes, and there's a backlash, and now they've taken the Halloween costumes out. All of that has happened, and the movie has not come out yet.
Huh.
I thought about this story yesterday, and I think the people who are protesting on this one are right. What do you guys think?
I don't know. It's odd to me, but how upset can you be, really?
Here's what's going on. The film, as you mentioned, is called Moana. It's due for release in November. It's an animated movie about a teenager who sails through the South Pacific, mm-hmm. ends up on an island, and meets a character named Maui, who is a real person believed by many Pacific Islanders as an ancestor from the island, and he teaches the teenager how to explore the ocean. Now, he looks like a standard Pacific Islander. He's got the tattoos, you know, like, partially like The Rock has all over his body, and he's got the shark tooth necklace. And the skirt, you know, the green leaf skirt, and that's what the costume looks like. It looks like this character Maui. And there are people in the Pacific Island parts of the world who are saying, hey, you know what? This is like blackface. This is like you're having a kid wear the skin of another race. We're not cartoon characters. We're real people, and it's cultural appropriation. This is our ancestry, and you're just pretending to be us. And they're saying no. And Disney said, we agree, and we're going to pull a costume.
But isn't acting pretending to be someone?
Yes.
I think when it verges into wearing those tattoos are so spiritual. They mean so much to Tongans and Samoans, Polynesian people in general. It looks like you're taking their skin. It's literally brown long sleeve shirt made to look like their skin and brown pants made to look like their skin. I think that's where the problem is.
I don't think Disney had any ill intent by doing this. I don't think they were trying to be racist.
Of course no.
But I do give them credit for responding to the concerns rather than just saying, suck it, Island Boy. But look, this topic is way too deep and way too important for us to get into. So we asked Dave if he could line up an expert for us, and he does have Mr. Stephen Cartwright on the phone. He's with an organization called AASC. And I apologize, Mr. Cartwright. I don't have in front of me what that organization name means, sir.
No need to apologize. It's fine. It's the American Association of Sensitive Costumers.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that existed.
It is. We're an organization that involves cosplay mm-hmm. and also wearing costumes at Halloween time. And we are trying to spread the message of being sensitive while dressing up in your costume. So we are the American Association of Sensitive Costumers.
All right. Well, that's awfully specific, but I guess there's probably a lot of work for your organization to do because it seems like this comes up every Halloween.
Because this is a specific problem, and we like to think we have a specific solution to it.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you have some sort of general organization that can fix everything, but I don't, okay?
All right. I'm not trying to upset you here. It's just...
Well, you have. So continue. No. Let's just pretend it never happened.
Okay. Well, I apologize.
I'm sensitive.
Yeah. Yes, you are. All right. So did Disney make the right call here?
Oh, absolutely.
By pulling this from the source. Okay.
Oh, I can't think of anything more offensive than to have a costume made of an animated character and have it be offensive to somebody. That is the worst thing anyone can ever do to anyone.
Is that the worst thing anyone could ever do?
Okay. It is.
Okay.
And Disney was right, and 50 lashes with a wet noodle for Disney.
Well, I don't know that we need
to these people.
I don't know that we need to do that, but
making a costume out of actual Pacific Islander skin
it's not
hideous. It's beyond barbaric.
No, that's not what's happening.
Charges should be filed.
It's not literally skin, Stephen. It's just meant to look like.
The story you provided for me said it's like they're wearing our skin.
Right. That was what the protester had to say, but it's actually a long sleeve brown shirt and long pants that has the tattoos on the fabric is what
so
it is.
So not literally skin.
No, it's a shirt.
It's a shirt and pants, right.
Oh.
With a design on it.
Still, I'm outraged.
Okay. All right.
To the extent I was previously, but still.
A little less.
I'm quite outraged, and these people have a right, and it's awful what people do at Halloween time with costumes and things. So be sensitive is what we're saying.
There's a lot of pressure on people.
The organization's built around that.
Sensitivity, right. There's a lot of pressure to look for that costume that you haven't seen everywhere.
And... Well, when you're thinking about a costume, think about how other people feel. For example, some very popular costumes are enormously offensive.
Okay.
Ghosts. Right?
That's the least
offensive. They're not even real.
Oh, okay. How about for the dead people? How do you think they feel? How about their feelings?
I don't feel like they're feeling.
I'm a dead person. I'm in a sheet. Dead people don't wear sheets. That's offensive to them. And you're mocking them by saying, I have cut holes in a sheet. No, I'm a dead person. No. How about they have feelings, too? Okay?
They don't have feelings. They're dead.
Oh, how dare you.
I'm sorry, but that's just a fact.
It's not.
Dead people are dead.
Have you ever watched that slight fellow who touches people's lives from beyond?
Oh, touched by an angel?
No, the young gentleman who can read your house and make sure that all the...
Tyler?
Tyler.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Talk to Tyler. You'll see. It's real.
The Hollywood medium.
Hollywood medium.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a Hollywood large myself, but I'm a giant. How about skeletons? Offensive? Yes, I think so.
But offensive to who?
People with bones?
We all have bones.
Right. So why can't we be kinder to each other and not say, look at my bones. Aren't these terrifying? No, they support our bodies. They hold us up. They're to be celebrated, not mocked.
I think it's just they're just trying to be scary for Halloween. It's ghosts and skeletons. That's
and
witches.
Batman, this Batman character all the time with people wearing the Batman character.
One of the most popular superheroes in the world. Who's offended by Batman?
Oh, what about the bats? What about the feelings of the bats? It's bat face is what it is. You might as well just call it bat face. Because you're just putting on the skin of a bat and the ears and the face of a bat and mocking him, saying, look at me. I'm going to go eat some insects, flying insects, and maybe some fruit.
Really? I don't think that's what's happening with
it's
that.
It's happening! Be sensitive!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas joins us next to talk the weekend in football and live music on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up later on from the band The Strumbellas. By the way, listen to their album again yesterday. So good.
So good.
Really talented guys.
Yep.
Very excited. They'll be playing in the Red Bull Sound Space. That's coming up this morning. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Don't sass your dad when he can freestyle, right? That's what I've always said.
I've never heard you say that
I
one.
Have a shirt that says it.
Okay. All right.
Mark Wahlberg was on the Dan Patrick Show. And he was on there talking about, of course, his upcoming movie, Deep Water Horizon, and, other stuff. And he had his daughter with him, Ella Wahlberg, 13 years old, who apparently is becoming quite a little snotty-nosed teenager. Dan Patrick throws it over to her and says, she said she had something she wanted to ask you. And so it's a live show, and she tries to embarrass Dad by saying, I want you to rap right now. Well, that was a bad idea. Because Wahlberg just turns the tables, just destroys her on national television, just mortifies her. Here's some audio from the Dan Patrick Show.
I'm your 45-year-old father, and I got a rap. And if you keep misbehaving, I'm going to give you behind a slap. And it's called a spanky. And if later on in life, you're going to thank me. Because all the advice that I'm giving you is good for you. And if not, your butt and behind is going to be black and blue. All right? No, don't cut it down. We're giving you all positive encouragement raps and good information to help you behave. And then you're going to earn that phone back, girl. Ooh. You want to earn that phone back. Ooh, there's a... Ooh. Uh-oh.
They have the camera on her. She's like... She's doing the cut sign, like cutting the throat. Stop it! Stop it, Dad! She's like, you can see she's terrified. He talks about spanking her and her bad behavior and her getting her phone back. And she just melts on camera. So shut up, kid! Marky Mark schooled you.
Yeah, does she not know his musical history?
She does. I think that's why she wanted to embarrass him and make him rap right there on the Dan Patrick Show. So don't do that.
Don't do that.
When your dad's got mad skills, yo.
Okay.
Speaking of mad skills, Scarlett Johansson has a lot of things going for her.
Yeah, she does.
She's beautiful. She's talented. She's got...
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. She does.
And she also has a band. You know she has a band?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar for Sugar is the name of the band.
No, the band. I know she's a singer.
Sugar for Sugar.
Okay.
And they have recorded a brand new cover to raise money for charity. It's for a charity album called The Time Is Now, and all the proceeds go to AMFAR, which is the Foundation for AIDS Research. And it's pretty cool. It's Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order.
Huh.
That's covered by Scarlett Johansson and her band Sugar for Sugar. Here's a little taste. Right?
All right.
For a good cause.
Sure.
Buy it.
Sure.
Why don't you buy it?
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Log on.
Can I wait until...
No.
Okay.
No.
Right. All right. Okay.
I'd like to see her bizarre love triangle, right?
Oh. Allie, were you listening?
Talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah,
put that away. We saw the hand
signal. No, we're looking at you.
Do you have a shirt with that one, too?
I do.
Yeah.
And some pants.
Allie, were you listening when I went on my red carpet to date to a movie premiere with Scarlett Johansson?
You did not.
My memory of it was that
you paid the money. You paid the money,
and then
you paid the money in the charity auction. You won the the date.
Then I flew to New York and walked hand in hand with Scarlett Johansson.
It was $5,000, I think.
$7,000.
Unbelievable.
And he didn't go. A guy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I didn't go.
Oh, I won the auction to meet Scarlett Johansson in the red carpet world premiere. No, I'm not going to go. Who does that? Who makes that choice?
Look, in my defense,
there's no defense. You had
there
no
is
defense.
A defense. The defense was I had no idea that I would win the auction.
Well, don't make the bid in the auction.
Why were you bidding $7,000?
Because I thought it would be hilarious because it was during the show and I hit the button and I thought, well, not everybody's dating Scarlett Johansson like I am.
Right.
I
just would have been a great payoff for the show if you had gone and met her and then had a story to tell on the air.
Yeah,
instead, your story was you hit a button on a computer. That was your story. That's the story you chose to go with instead of, I hung out with Scarlett Johansson. Here's what happened.
It was a long way to go, and I think it was like on a weeknight, and I just wasn't down for it.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Good times.
It's not good times with you ever. The worst of times.
Well, I don't know him.
They were the worst of times. They were the worst of times. If Charles Dickens had known you, that's how A Tale of Two Cities would open.
But how great is Bean wasting $7,000?
That is pretty awesome. That's pretty sweet.
And then we had Dave reach out to her people and go, look, he didn't go to the thing, but he did give the money. Could we have 5 minutes of Scarlett's time to maybe do a phone call or something and we can talk to her on the air? No. That was it.
Well, you're not to be depended upon, are you?
Correct.
You're not to be
Apparently
trusted.
Not. That's correct.
You already had your shot and you blew it.
They made the right decision.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Anthony Mackie's 38 years old today. Wrestler Matt Hardy turns 42. Jason Alexander's 57. And the boss, Bruce Springsteen. 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on K-Rock means one thing. RJ Bell in Las Vegas. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder, excuse me, the spokesperson. What are you, RJ? What's your association with pregame.com? Do you own the thing or what?
Founder, CEO. Founder.
CEO, all right.
Owner.
Wow.
Spiritual guide.
Big man.
Wow.
Pregame.com, of course, is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. Having another good season, giving us picks on the Kevin and Bean Show, aren't you, RJ?
Listen, I have to express a concern at this point.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
61% over the 2 years leading this season. Now, you know, 4-2. I just think it's going to become – it's going to feel too easy. And we just got to make sure we realize this is not easy.
Okay.
All right.
So you just want us to acknowledge that what you're doing is amazing.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
I'm fine with that.
But all joking aside, we do want the listeners to realize the best any pro bettor does long term is 55%. Now, we're doing great, and the energy's awesome, but this is far from – we could go 0-3 this week, honestly, very easily. So
okay.
We always got to keep that in mind.
All right. Now, Allie, the pressure's off on you. You can just relax and enjoy the weekend without worrying about it because you've already got your win for week three with last night's game. But for the rest of us.
3-0, by the way. 3-0.
Right. 3-0. Yes. Like usual for the Patriots.
Third string.
All right. We understand.
Okay.
The Patriots, apparently, they just put on the uniform and they get superhero strength no matter who's in the suit. It's crazy how it works. Before we get into your big three picks of the week, RJ, now that we have a team in Southern California, I know you were surprised to see the Rams pull out a win last weekend.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about them this weekend against Tampa Bay?
You know, I think it's a tough spot. So they're a 5.5-point underdog, the Rams, at Tampa Bay. I think this is a tired Rams team, right? So Monday Night Football was the first game of the year. Obviously, a lot of energy about the first game. It was on the road. They played horribly, right?
Right.
So the critics were yapping, the papers, the blogs, blah, blah, blah. Then they had a home game, second game, and that was a big deal, right? First home game, how big is the crowd going to be? Will we have enough bottled water? All those big concerns. And luckily, the Rams won the game. So I think that was a great emotional relief, obviously. And obviously, too, a lot of talk about Goff and who's going to quarterback. Now they've got to travel all the way to Tampa, which is a long, long way. And it's going to be hot down there. So with the heat, a tired team, I think it's a really bad spot for the Rams. One last thing, though, that can give L.A. a little optimism for this game. Last 17 home games for Tampa Bay, they've only won 3. So a team that's 3-14 at home, straight up, is laying 5.5 points. So it does speak to Tampa's a little better than they have been in recent years. But I do think it's a tough spot for the Rams.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. You usually have a big dog of the week, but you're calling it the big favorite this week in game number one. How come?
Yeah, first time in 3 seasons, I like all favorites here. So I figure let's slip the biggest one in as the big favorite. And that's going to be the Miami Dolphins, favored by 9.5 over the Browns. A pro bettor I talked to this week said the Browns are more like an expansion team than any non-expansion team they've seen for decades. This is a guy that's been around for a long time. And that was before this disaster at quarterback. They are starting a rookie, Cody Kessler. Now, 2 weeks ago, this guy was a third-string quarterback behind RG3, behind Josh McCown. So third string doesn't just speak to how much of a lack of pedigree he has, but the fact that in training camp he got very few reps. He would only play, the expectation was, during the regular season in an emergency. Well, that's what we have for the Browns, an emergency here. And the Browns, their top two receivers are out and injured for this game. I hate laying big numbers. You know that. I hate big favorites.
Right.
But the Dolphins are not a bad team.
Take it easy.
Listen, they're not a bad team, and they're 0-2, which means their season pretty much is on the line. So anytime you want to lay a big favor, you want to make sure they're really motivated. That's what we have with the Dolphins, so we're laying the 9.5 points against the Browns.
Wow. So they'll win in the factory of sadness is what you're predicting.
I think there's going to be a little joy, a little touch of joy.
That's going to be a crap fest game, though, right?
I think the Brown, you know, the old joke was that the Philadelphia quarterback, he did well in high school, he did well in college, he did well against the Browns week one, so what's he going to do against an NFL team with Carson Wentz? So, I mean, the Browns are, and again, we picked him last week and won, so you can cherry pick the spot, but this quarterback situation now is a huge deal.
All right, now we move on to game number two. Your best bet of the weekend is Cincinnati -3 over the Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. What's up?
Yeah, this is good. You know, L.A., Hollywood, storytelling. This is a handicap about narrative, right? So on one hand, Cincinnati lost to Pittsburgh last week. The narrative is, oh, they fell short. They had revenge for a playoff loss. The Bengals fell short. But actually, Pittsburgh is the one who had the motivational edge last week because of the Bengals' cheap shots and suspensions and all that stuff. So now Cincinnati is just trying to avoid losing a second game in the row. Now, the narrative with Denver is this is a team that won the Super Bowl. Now they're 2-0. They're picking up where they left off. But in actuality, Denver was a home underdog to New England last year in the championship game, AFC championship. Then they were 5-point underdogs to Carolina in the Super Bowl. Now, it's great that they won, but they really didn't expect to win. Then they were home underdogs in week one against Carolina. So this is a team, Denver, that's overperforming, but they're not supposed to play this well. And typically, teams will regress back to where they're supposed to be. Also, Trevor Siemian, right, rookie quarterback or inexperienced quarterback, it's his first road start. Now, with the Bengals, what you have is a team that's sneaky good at home. People don't really list the Bengals as a great home team. Last 25 regular season home games, they've only lost 7 against the spread. So we're laying 3 points with, I think, the better team in Cincinnati with an especially good home field advantage. One last quick tip. This is only, if you look back over the last 4 prior seasons, this is only the 5th time Denver has had a 1 o'clock Eastern start. So about once a year, this is very rare for them. That's the little small edges. I don't think, you know, they're unfamiliar with it. I think that's a negative for Denver. Just one more reason, Cincy -3.
That's some deep research to get into that 1 o'clock start time, man. I'll tell you. And finally, RJ Bell on from pregame.com. The big game of the week is the Monday Night Football game between 2 very bad teams, the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, this shows how stubborn I am, because the first 2 weeks of the year, we were 2-0 on Sunday, and I lost the Monday night game. So I'm going for it again on Monday night. I think the Saints, when the crowd is energized, has one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. Here's a stat that backs that up. Saints in primetime home games, 13-2 against the spread. So typically you would say, well, Monday Night Football, that's enough. The crowd's going to be energized. No, no, no. Check this out. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Superdome reopening after Hurricane Katrina. Now, we all know that was a hugely emotional thing. The Saints, helping the city come back. And now at the 10-year anniversary, I think the energy and emotion is going to be at a fever pitch. And the Saints as a team, they're 0-2. Their season is on the line. But they lost those 2 games by only 4 points. So they really haven't combined. So they really haven't played that poorly. Now, you look at Atlanta and say, well, they're 1-1. Last year, they were 8-8. Oh, they're a .500 team. Yeah, people think of teams in chunks of season-long stretches. But if you actually look at it, last year, the Falcons finished the season winning only 2 of 9 games.
So holy
really,
moly.
Yeah, so really, they're 2-7 last year, 1-1 this year. That means 3-8 their last 11. This team isn't as good as they seem. So when you add it up, you got the Saints team that's at least equally as good, I think, as Atlanta. And they have one of the biggest home fields we're going to see this entire NFL season because of the emotion behind this game. I like the Saints -3.
Nope.
The big favorite from RJ is the Dolphins. Chip, you feeling good about that? -9.5 over the Browns?
Yep.
All right, Cincinnati -3 over the Denver Broncos, and then the Monday Night Football game is the Saints -3 over the Atlanta Falcons. You know, it makes so much sense. You're so believable when you explain all the reasons that go into why you pick the way you pick. And it really makes a lot of sense on Friday. We'll see how it feels after the weekend.
Hey, thankfully, we've been winning with that good logic. It'd be horrible if we were losing. They'd be like, we don't want to hear it anymore, RJ.
Pregame.com is where you want to go, on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great weekend, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Still to come, tickets to the great new Kristen Wiig film called Masterminds you can win on The Kevin Bean Show, and tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center October the 3rd. And I think today is the day we do the grand prize drawing of all the winners this week to give away ringside tickets for that event, too. So that's all coming up, plus live music from the Strumbellas next hour here on K-Rock.
Ralph, what'd you find here? What's this?
I was just raving about Zoe because I love Zoe, and I want my daughter to be like Zoe. Here's the thing. When you're raising a daughter in this day and age, your biggest fear is, well, boys, men, anything involving that subject, but also them being bullied, not standing up for themselves. You know, this is an age of social media pressure and woman on woman insults about body image and shaming. There's just so much to worry about when it comes to raising a daughter. I think when it comes to raising a son, you just want to teach him just to punch somebody in the face pretty much and he can just handle himself. But the emotional fear I carry around for my daughter as she grows is just terrifying.
Allie, was it tough growing up being a girl?
Not when I grew up. I think now it's a completely different
ballgame, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was just thrilled to see this story about a fifth grade girl who wrote a series of rules and regulations to Noah, a boy apparently who would not leave her alone in her fifth grade class. And it was discovered by a fifth grade teacher who distributed it on the internet, which when I saw it and I read it, it's just so hilarious and so empowering that I just wanted to talk about it today. I wanted to share it with you.
And this old are you if you're in fifth grade? Forgive me for not. Is that like nine or something? Or
fifth grade, you're 11?
11-ish?
11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this 11-year-old girl, laying down some rules.
Zoe, who is just getting hassled by a classmate
just
named
for Noah.
And she wrote a series of rules and regulations that just her self-confidence and self-respect just deserve a round of applause, I thought. So here we go. The list of rules and regulations to Noah. Number one, do not touch my shoulder. All right, that's rule number one.
Okay, wow.
Number two, do not get behind me with all that playing and foolishness. Don't get behind me at all. That's rule number two.
Noah's a dick already.
Yes, because he's, first of all, getting behind her, and then he's got all that playing and foolishness going
on. Yeah. No one's got any time for foolishness at 11.
Number three, do not speak to me unless it's a greeting, which will be never.
Okay, now, look, I'm down with you. I like Zoe, too, and I appreciate her.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just asking.
This is called segment Bean Hates Kids.
No.
It's our new regular feature.
Is that a good rule? Do not speak to me unless it's a greeting, which will be never. Is that a good rule, or is that unusually cruel?
When it comes to Noah?
When it comes to Noah, it's necessary.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we just decided that Noah deserves
this because
he's a dick.
Okay. Yeah. Number four, stop playing with me on the bus. First of all, he's getting behind her with all that playing and foolishness. Yeah. Now he's playing with her on the bus.
Enclosed spaces.
I don't like that either.
I don't like it, Noah.
Number five, I have a short temper with people.
Uh-oh.
And you ruin my day because you play too much. Right? Noah is a dick. And she's letting you know, you're on my last nerve, Noah. And you're going to ruin my whole day. Rule number six, my favorite rule of all the list of rules and regulations, reread 500 times the previous rules and regulations. Yes. Number seven, you like me as a girlfriend, but I don't like you as a boyfriend. I'm too young. Laying down the rules.
I like it.
Number eight, if you break any of these rules, I'm calling my dad, my mom's friend, my fake mom, and a janitor I know.
Who do you think my fake mom is? You think that's dad's girlfriend?
Maybe, or a stepmom, yeah.
Oh, maybe
it's harsh.
So, yeah.
I love it.
Or maybe a friend's mom that, you know, she treats her like a kid, too. You know, sure. Sometimes your friend's mom become like your own parent.
She's bringing in support.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
She's got a team.
If you ruin my day, I'm going to have to go to counseling, she writes at the end. That'll be on you, Noah. That's going to be on your head. And lastly, she sums it all up with, I think, which is really the gist of all of the rules and regulations that preceded. Stop playing with me! So there you go. That's Zoe shutting down Noah and telling it like it is. So I just wanted to give Zoe, a fifth grade girl, a shout out for taking things into her own hands and posting those rules and regulations for Noah.
Pretty strong.
Noah, you're a dick.
It's very exciting. The Strumbellers are setting up in the other room right now.
Yep.
It's going to be fun to hear them play live. I love that record so much.
Calm down.
Take it easy.
Okay.
Well, I'm just excited.
Right.
Is the liar on the phone yet? Did we check?
The guy who comes on and just bald-faced lies to Kevin and Bean. Is he on the phone? Is he back on the phone now?
Hey, Landon Donovan.
Good morning.
How's it going, guy who lies to Kevin and Bean?
Well, I'm doing something I swore I would never do again. I'm driving the StubHub Center for practice.
What happened? You dedicated your entire life to playing soccer and then reached a point where you were comfortable enough to walk away and know that you'd made the right decision and enjoy your post-athletic life. What happened, Landon?
I don't know. I'm probably an idiot, right? Life was so good. I was waking up at 9 every day, relaxing. A funny thing happened that the Galaxy reached out and asked if they've had a bunch of injuries and if it was something I would even consider. And I think it was all sort of kind of a joke at first, but I was with my son one day and I was thinking about the opportunity to have a chance to be on the field with him. And he's only 8 months. I don't know how much he's going to remember, but
all of it.
I just thought it was a good opportunity to do something special for him and to help the team out too. So it just kind of made sense.
Had you thought of returning in any way before that phone call?
No, not. I mean, in fact, it was the opposite. It was, I'm so happy that that part of my life is done. And I don't own a soccer ball. I haven't gone out and played soccer really in 2 years, except for a few charity matches. But I don't miss it in the way I think some athletes miss it, but I do miss the energy of the games. I do miss being in the locker room. All that stuff is fun, but I was completely content.
Wow. And how are you spending your time? Obviously, we know how you've been spending it the last 8 months, being very busy as a new father, but what were you doing generally with the time that you used to dedicate to practice and meetings and media and everything else?
Well, what happened is, before I couldn't do a ton of media and appearances and that stuff because you're always just exhausted and you have a schedule and you're training. I had the chance over the last few years to do a ton of different things that I didn't have the chance to do before. So that's been fun, whether they were work-related or just, I went to the Masters and watched the golf. I went to the U.S. Open Tennis Championships. I traveled a lot with my wife. So I got to do a lot of things that I hadn't
done fun.
While I was playing. Yeah, it's been really nice.
Did your wife, now be honest, did your wife say, you know what, Landon, I got this, yeah. Everything's good at home?
Beat it.
Why don't you go someplace else?
The first text I got was from a buddy, and he said, I've heard a lot of excuses to get out of dad duty, but this one's
not. Now, Landon, the most surprising thing for me when you came back a couple of weeks ago was it doesn't look like he's gained a pound. I would be 100 pounds fatter than my playing weight if I had retired.
Well, two things. One, I actually, believe it or not, I lost weight because you lose all the muscle you have. And I'm just not as hungry anymore, and I'm blessed with a good metabolism. But the other thing is, as parents know, carrying or chasing around a little kid all the time is it's pretty exhausting. A
lot of work. What was it like the first game back with the Galaxy when you entered the game?
It was really bizarre, to be honest. It felt a little bit like my last game. My last game, because it was so meaningful for me, it just felt weird. It didn't feel like a soccer game because I knew it was the end. And this kind of didn't feel like a soccer game. It just felt completely different. But I'm glad it got out of the way because we played the first game 2 weeks ago, and then last weekend I was able to just, the week I was able to focus on training and practicing, and then in the game it just felt like a normal, what I have been doing most of my life again, so that was good.
And sure. You scored a goal, and I would like to ask you about the crowd in Kansas City chanting AARP when you entered the game, and then 2 minutes later when you scored the goal.
Well, I mean, I give people credit for being creative. You know? I get used to the, hair club for men and about my bald head and all this stuff. But when they're clever, that's fine. It just happened that within a few minutes, I got a really good look, a good pass from Robbie Rogers, and was able to score right in front of them. So the timing was perfect. But
oh, that's sweet.
It was fun.
Oh, that does feel good.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about you being in, in soccer shape, and they put you in at the end of the game, but that goal was with your left foot, and it was just perfectly placed. You didn't, sort of panic like new players do. You don't lose that, do you? You just have to get in better game shape.
Correct. I think it's a little bit akin to not riding a bike, but maybe riding, a high-speed motorcycle. And once you kind of get used to it and you get the feel for it a little bit more, it all comes back to you. But the interesting thing about the goal is that in every preseason I ever was in my life, the last thing that comes is the actual shooting and the finishing. That's the hardest part to get back. So there's every chance that I go the rest of the season and playoffs and don't score because it's really a difficult part. That was just one of those perfect moments. I think my instincts just took over, and sometimes you just hit it well. I mean, I've hit that same shot 100 times, and it goes way wide, so it worked out well.
I don't think I like your attitude about the rest of the season.
Listen, it's not what I want, but,
This is the voice of our friend Landon Donovan back on the Kevin Beach Show. Now we're number 26 for the Los Angeles Galaxy. The regular season is winding down, coming to a close. You've got Seattle in town this Sunday at 1 o'clock at StubHub Center. Tickets are available now for just $30 at LAGalaxy.com. And then you play against Dallas, and that's it. You should have thought of this years ago to come in the last four games of the regular season. It makes a lot more fun for you, Landon.
I know. I could play till 40 if I just had to play 3 games a year.
Have any teams asked for those gifts that they gave you back when you retired? Because you did the rounds. You made every city, and they all sort of paid tribute to you and gave you all kinds of gifts. I say you retire again at the end of the year and get more
smart
gifts and then come back next year.
Yeah.
I think you're a genius.
Right? No one has ever said that.
Mark that down, you guys. 743.
Some of them tweeted and, jokingly asked if they were getting their gifts back. And then my wife, of course, being opportunistic, said, last time when you retired, I don't remember, you didn't go to Houston, and you're going to Houston this time. So are they going to give you something?
Oh, there you go. All right.
I don't know. All right.
We're almost out of time here, Landon. How much do you expect to play this Sunday?
So I played 25 minutes in Kansas City. Honestly, if it weren't going to be 90 degrees on Sunday in Carson, which is beautiful if you're a fan, but not great if you're a player,
right?
I would probably play a little bit more. My guess is, depending on what the team needs, probably 30 minutes or so.
Okay. All right, well, it's getting very exciting, that's for sure. As I mentioned, LA Galaxy.
You sounded disappointed.
No.
Okay, I mean, if that's all right. You can do, Landon.
No, that's plenty. That's okay. A contribution right there. Hey, the guy's in the AARP, and he's doing
that's
30
true.
Minutes. Come on.
Good point.
I might be dead after that 30 minutes, so pray for me.
LAGalaxy.com if you want to go to see the game this Sunday. Landon, look, we tease because you lied to us, but we're so happy that you're back. You're one of our favorites on and off the field. It's always so much fun to catch up with you. Thank you very much for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you at the game.
All right. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Ralph Garman is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some passes to a very special K-Rock advanced screening of a movie called Masterminds?
Yay!
Film stars Zach Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig, Owen Wilson. Looks like a very funny caper comedy about a bunch of boneheads who pull off a bank heist being night guards at an armored car company. All based on a true story, by the way. If you'd like to see this very funny film, it's in theaters everywhere on September 30th. But you, my good friends. We'll have a chance to see it on the 26th at the TCL Chinese Theater at our special K-Rock Advanced Screening. Give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number. We got a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Masterminds. Congratulations to Adam Levine of Maroon 5. Well, first of all, you know, Kevin, every time we talk about Maroon 5, mm-hmm. he insists that we give some love to them because he is a huge Maroon 5 love fan.
Them. Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
All right, there, Kevin, we've given them love. Adam and Bihati Prinsloo welcomed their first child to the world. So congratulations to that lovely couple. Their new baby girl is named Dusty Rose. Dusty Rose.
She is a great wrestler already.
Or a stripper.
She is killing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, make a round of applause for Dusty Rose making her way to stage number one. Dusty Rose, everybody. Get those singles out, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't just work for her.
The worst strip club DJ ever.
Yeah, Dusty Rose.
Dusty doesn't seem like a fun name to grow up with.
Hey, Dirty Rose. It's Dusty. Speaking of kids, Brad Pitt, right? What's up with this? I don't know if you've heard the story, but the Los Angeles County Department of Child and Family Services is investigating an alleged incident where Brad Pitt was accused of being verbally abusive and getting physical with one of his kids while on the family's private plane last week. They say perhaps he was inebriated at the time, got into an argument with his wife, one of the kids got in the middle, and things went sideways. Now, coincidentally or not, this was just a day or two before Angelina decided to file for divorce right away. So could this have been the incident that caused that effect? No way of knowing, but apparently they are looking into it and being investigated. So I hope it's not the case, but sad news if it is. And more sad news, Terry Jones, one of my favorites, from Monty Python's Flying Circus, and a very established and talented writer, director, producer. It has been announced that he has been diagnosed with primary progressive aphasia, which is a variant of dementia, apparently. He is going through some hard times. The illness affects his ability to communicate. He's no longer able to give interviews, says the spokesperson for Jones. But he is being honored for the special BAFTA award this year. Sadly, he will not be able to accept it because of the progression of his illness. But sad news, man.
Yeah. Well, he was part of the Monty Python reunions in recent years, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's been with Python all the way from the beginning.
Yeah, and seemed fine.
Yes.
Wow. That's sad that it's come on
sometimes
so fast.
Sometimes with illness being, you're fine, and then you get an illness, and then things go poorly for you.
I like that stuff scheduled out ahead of time.
It doesn't really work that way. You're going about your business in life, and then suddenly things start to feel wrong, and maybe some symptoms present, and then that's when they realize you have an illness.
This is like when you were trying to explain to me that heart attacks come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of advance warnings.
Very similar.
Same.
I don't like it. I don't care for it at all.
I'm always surprised by your surprise.
Yeah.
By how the human body breaks down.
Ralph's not going into a deep dive on how this works. This is just skimming the surface.
And pretty much the way with all illnesses. At one point, you seem like you're not sick, and then you get sick.
I don't like it. Here's what I'm saying is, like, we had this conversation.
It doesn't matter that you don't like it.
When Juan Gabriel passed away.
But you can't say he was just participating in the Monty Python reunions. It doesn't mean he can't be sick now.
Because it's dementia, though, right?
Right.
In other words, in my mind, there's a gradual reduction of your mental capacity.
Oh.
And it seemed like a year ago he was as sharp as ever, and now all of a sudden he can't even give a speech.
Is this based on all your clinical research trials when you've done all that research into dementia?
No, just based on the timeline of how fast this came up seemingly out of nowhere. Like, he didn't know about this probably a year ago, and now he's debilitated.
Is this whole conversation the fact that you don't like it?
Yes.
Did know about it a year ago?
Perhaps he did.
What if he was diagnosed early on but was still functional and wanted to participate in the reunions and was still able to?
I'm much happier with that if that's the way it played out.
Open up a blog.
Well, as long as Bean's happy with his dementia
as
a year ago,
okay with it,
I think we're good.
Then Terry Jones should be happy as well. And amongst the many, many annoying things about Bean, It's the fascination and the being abused with his early mentioning of Christmas, right?
That's annoying.
It's half Christmas, mm-hmm. 3/4 Christmas, 7/12 Christmas. All those mentions are brutal.
Yes.
So I hate to participate in any way.
Well, then don't.
Well, I have to because this press release just came out today, and it's the biggest news, perhaps, of the entire holiday season.
Wow.
The 85th annual Hollywood Christmas Parade, Kevin.
Oh, I do love that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the best parade in the world.
And by best, you mean worst.
No, so I mean janky. Best, because it is
it's the jankiest.
It's like six cars and a junior high school band and a camel for some reason. No reason, just the only animal they could find.
And nobody could hear the announcers, and the announcers can't hear them.
Constant chaos and confusion.
It's the best.
And it's an annual appearance from Eric Estrada, really, mm-hmm. which sure. is the most important part. They have just announced their Grand Marshal, and I couldn't be more excited.
Someone we've heard of this year?
Yes.
All right.
Oh.
Olivia Newton-John.
Wow.
The Grand Marshal for the big 85th anniversary celebration of the annual Hollywood Christmas Parade. Special host this year, Eric Estrada, returning.
All right.
Dean Cain and Montel Williams will all be hosting the parade.
Man, oh man.
Here's the exciting news, the really reason I wanted to bring it up. Because, you know, for many years now, you couldn't find it on television.
Right.
They used to air it live.
Yeah,
they
used to air it live. KTLA forever.
And those were the good days. Yeah. Then,
well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know.
They're doing it live!
The live event will air at primetime on the CW network on December the 16th.
Nice. That is the best thing I've ever heard.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
The actual parade is November 27th, and they're airing.
See, that's a misleading
headline. The live event to air in prime time on the CW network.
Right.
Yes, it is.
But they have time to edit out all the mistakes.
December 16th. Yeah. Afterwards, so, mm-hmm. still.
So they're going to fix it in post.
Well, we're just going to send Beer Mug down there to get a live report.
Absolutely.
I think, from the actual parade.
I like it.
That's the worst parade in America.
Maybe he can get a
really as a kid, though, I remember as a child watching it.
Sure.
And being so super pumped because Santa was always the last one and he came down the street on his sleigh.
But what about all the people in the cars from TV shows you've never heard of?
I was just pumped to see Santa. Okay, didn't even matter.
Right. And I think back then, Kevin, they had much better stars than they do now.
Yeah. Their actual TV stars and stuff would go by. It's true, Kevin. Mm. It's true. You gotta believe, man.
Those were the days.
When are Kevin and Bean going to be in the Hollywood Christmas Parade in a in a convertible? That's what I'm talking about. Hall of Fame broadcasters Kevin and Bean
riding in
a convertible the Hollywood Christmas Parade. I think there's still time to make this happen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get on the phone and we'll see what I can do.
They would give us the mic and we would just mouth things like we're saying stuff but not actually say it.
Well, with all the nice things we've said about the parade over the years, I'm sure they'll invite us, Ralph.
Don't poo-poo on my Christmas wish, man.
I'm so disappointed that they're not doing it live for real.
I want you guys in the parade.
I know you do.
That's my Christmas shoes.
Yeah, well.
It's my Christmas wish.
You're going to be a disappointed little boy.
Before you guys meet Jesus, I want you to be in a convertible.
Too late.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Anthony Mackie, very talented actor. The Falcon! He's 38 years old today. Jason Alexander's 57. Matt Hardy, the wrestler, is 42. And Bruce Springsteen, 67. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Bishop right there, one of the many artists over the years who's performed live for us here during the morning show on K-Rock. We got another one coming up. Strumbellas are in the next room. Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. They'll be on in just a few minutes. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Kevin, as we get down to the last, less than 7 weeks now till the election, is I don't think any of these comedy pieces that Kimmel's doing or Fallon is doing or Zach Galifianakis yesterday with Hillary Clinton with the Funny or Die, I don't think they're changing anyone's minds. Do you?
No, and that's frightening.
No one watches.
No one is open to any new information, regardless of what it is.
Yeah, I think you could be right about that. It still can be entertaining, though, and as great as the Between Two Ferns was yesterday, we want to bring you some audio from this one from The Daily Show. We put this in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, by the way. You can see that at krock.com or kevinandbean.com if you want. But this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and he sent out a correspondent, Jordan Kleppner is his name, to a Trump rally. And it's pretty great to see him interacting with actual people whose votes count as much as yours do.
Yeah. Pretty great or disappointing? I don't know.
Maybe terrifying. You could add terrifying.
Well, you can decide. Here they talk about Hillary Clinton's health and the possible actual problems that she's having.
I headed to Trump rallies in the crucial swing states of Ohio and Wisconsin to discover what his supporters know that the rest of us don't.
Do you think it's worse than pneumonia?
Way she looks, yes.
So what do you think's going on?
It could be Parkinson's. It could be MS.
It could be AIDS.
What makes you think she has AIDS?
Way her husband used to be.
So you think Bill had AIDS?
Yes.
So how did Bill Clinton get AIDS?
Probably messing around with Magic Johnson.
What else do they know?
They're saying there's like a double of her.
Yeah, do you think there was a Hillary Clinton double?
Yeah.
Wow, a Clinton double. Who knew? So I printed out two identical photos to see if they could see what we couldn't.
Which one's the body double?
I'd say that one.
Oh, what is it about this one that makes you think it's not Hillary Clinton?
That little thing on her cheek is very obvious, and the scarring or whatever this is down in her throat is different.
Again, identical pictures.
Identical photos, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They look a ton alike, right?
This
right.
looks a little bit younger.
You think this looks younger?
Yeah.
But don't you think if you just look at something for long enough and you kind of have a paranoid mind, eventually you'll find a difference and make a big deal
of it? I think something like that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. You think? So then he changes topics and goes for their opinion on President Obama.
Uncovering Hillary's doubles is one thing, but what could they tell us about our current commander-in-chief?
Barack Obama is a Muslim. He's a terrorist. Nobody will ever tell me different.
We don't even know if he's a citizen.
Yeah, if you don't
Kevin,
look
at that guy's my dad.
Was that you?
How did you get to this rally?
We don't even know if he's a citizen.
If you don't look at the birth certificate, there's almost no evidence there.
Exactly.
So there's nothing Barack Obama could do to prove that he was born here.
So he says, so that if you don't look at the birth right. certificate, that's the proof. And the guy's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't matter. So he goes further.
If there was maybe witnesses that were attendants at his birth.
Like his mother? Would you listen to
no.
his mother?
No. She has motivation to lie.
So you don't trust Donald Trump's birth certificate either?
Yeah, because he's been here forever.
Well, how do you know? What's your proof?
Well, his parents and...
But they're biased. I'm talking about, like, people who could
Why
be their
Why would
own.
They be biased?
Well, like, I'm just using your logic against you.
Okay.
He acts like a Muslim. He talks like a Muslim. He also does the Muslim principles as far as jewelry is concerned.
Jewelry?
Yeah, jewelry. Certain months of the year, not wearing his wedding ring.
That's a deep cut. You want me to connect your necklace to your Christianity?
Why would you do that?
Well, you just taught me it. I didn't even know people were connecting jewelry to religion.
Muslims don't wear...
Is that a Jew watch?
By the way, this Jordan Kleppner is very impressive.
He is funny.
Allie, how are you? You're the queen of conspiracies. How are you? How come we didn't hear about the Muslim jewelry from you?
I did not know.
Did you miss
Trust
that
me, I will do a deep dive. And yeah. I'm going to find out more about this Magic Johnson, Bill Clinton thing.
Right.
I'll get to the bottom
Who
of that.
Who knew that was a thing? Was Barack Obama responsible in some way for 9/11?
Barack Obama had a big part of 9/11.
Which part?
Not being around, always on vacation, never in the office.
Why do you think Barack Obama wasn't in the Oval Office on 9/11?
That I don't know. I'd like to get to the bottom of that.
Sure would like that answer.
But wait, hold on.
What?
Hold on. Wasn't George Bush president during 9/11?
Sure.
Is that the point that's being missed here by these people?
I mean, yeah. So he probably wouldn't have access to the Oval Office because
he couldn't have got the Oval Office
was
if he wanted
nowhere near
to.
It. Yeah. But whatever.
But yeah, whatever, right?
Right.
He wasn't even in the Senate
no,
in 2001.
He was probably golfing,
okay.
but because he was probably 30.
Right.
And not president.
Right.
The media cover-up of Donald Trump supporters is what this next bit is about.
They also had new truths about the media cover-up of Trump's surging popularity.
I don't think the media really portrays all the African-Americans that support Donald Trump as much
right.
as they
do. Now, remember that he's at a rally
mm-hmm.
okay. for Donald Trump.
When you literally look out across the 400, 500 people here, we don't see any. They'll wave. Wave, white people! Yeah! It's like a Dave Matthews concert. Except Dave Matthews actually has African Americans in his band. Tell me when you see somebody who is not white.
Here, right here. Thank you, brother.
Donald Trump don't even know how much a loaf of bread or a dozen of eggs cost.
So you don't even support Donald Trump?
No.
Okay, so he didn't work.
Turns out they got one wrong. But the rest of their theories can be backed up with ironclad sources.
And what's your source?
Just Facebook or Twitter. I mean, everything. And I.
So you'll look at like facts and bull. You'll put it all together.
Exactly.
So outside of having no proof, what proof do you have?
I don't have any.
don't have any proof.
My opinion.
Your opinion.
Do I have proof? No. Do I have articles? No.
But your mind is made up without any information.
My mind is made up.
Good enough for me.
It's good enough for me, too.
So that's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Yep.
It's a deal that's out there.
Sure is.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this mess.
We are live on Facebook Live right now, you guys. So pants up, everybody. Especially you, McKay. All right? Pants
Sorry.
Up.
Okay.
People are looking now. This
Sadly,
is very exciting.
No one's looking.
We didn't get a chance to meet them when they played the K-Rock Weenie Roast a couple of months ago. But we heard they were great, and they're going to be great again today because the Strumbellas have just joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Thank you so much for being here. So in studio right now, we have Simon, we have David, we have John, and then Izzy, Daryl, and Jeremy are down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space, and all six of you will be performing live for us in just a few minutes, as I understand.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Well, tell us about the Strumbellas. We as I mentioned, we haven't had a chance to meet you before. You guys have been together, what, about 8 years?
Yeah. We've been together for 8 years. We started on an ad on Craigslist. And
sweet.
Yeah, and we just, you know, we're really good looking, and we're from Canada.
Has it been easy going, or has it been a struggle the last 8 years? As you look back on it now, how has the journey seemed to you?
At the start, I can speak for myself. When you're in a band, you're starting, you think you're going to get famous like the next day. So you're like, oh, we play this show, it's a showcase, there's going to be some famous record producer there, and then boom, you know, the millions come in. But it's not really like that. So
wait, it's not like that?
Yeah, I mean, no. I definitely don't think when we were playing those farmers markets, I was like, no. Oh man, tomorrow it's just all coming.
I want to talk about that because you guys played the Toronto farmers market a lot, apparently.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a couple around the city. Yeah.
And people in general, when they're at a farmers market, do not pay attention to the band, right? They just walk by, they may glance your way.
Well, they're there for the fruits and vegetables.
We actually had a guy walk by with a jar of pickles and go, this is great pickle buying music. As he walked by.
That is quite a great quote. For your album.
Whoa. Yeah.
Right? That's pretty sweet.
Awesome.
That had to get annoying.
Well, sort of, but I thought that the record producer would be there.
Oh, you thought
it was
be
worth
at farmer's market.
And
okay.
Then, yeah, I thought he'd just be getting his vegetables and, you know.
Because they got to eat, right?
Yeah,
they
totally.
They love radishes.
Rick Rubin eats, doesn't
he? Yeah,
sure
he does. Yeah, definitely.
So what was the journey like to finally get hooked up enough to be able to make a record and have a manager and make a living doing music? Because that's a tough transition to go from your day job to what you really want to do, which is being a band.
Totally. And we're dreamers, and we just kind of kept doing it. And you're right, the journey is incredibly hard. And most specifically, after our second record, this is way after we thought we'd be famous by then. And
well, you thought you'd be famous after your first show.
Yeah, basically. So we're two records deep, five years on the road, and we decide to try to go into the United States. And everybody back home was like, dudes, I'm telling you right now, the United States is so hard to break into. Don't do it.
Okay, wait. Let me just ask a question. So you're a band for 5 years. You're in Canada.
Yep.
And during none of that 5 years, did you think, hey, we should try to break into the United States?
No, we were just trying to...
Well, we do like one-off shows.
Yeah, very
like,
small,
you know,
amount.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, sort of tries north of the border, but it's more difficult than you'd expect. That border, it's like, it's for real, you know, for some reason. I don't know why.
Right.
And so we finally did. Like, we said, okay, we're going to do a tour in the States. So
right.
We did a monster tour. We went all the way down to, like, Florida, all the way across to California, all the way up. And
okay,
it was, like,
but stop, let me
tour.
Stop you right there.
Yeah.
No one knew who you were, though, right?
Nobody knew who we
okay.
were. We played for so many empty bars and strip malls and coffee shops, and there was three people there, and I was ready to quit. I was done. I was like, there's no point if we're not going to, you know, grow out of Canada, because, you know, we wanted to be a worldwide band. So that was like the lowest point of the band for me personally, and then I don't know what happened. We just kind of like, all right, well, let's throw together a record. You know,
well, one more try.
It's your dedication, I think.
No, this time,
third record's the one. Yeah. So.
But you did have a following in Canada.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah. Canada has been great,
just not outside.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you about that Canada thing, because
You get help as a musician in Canada. I mean, the radio, they kind of play a certain amount of Canadian content and stuff. So they're always looking for good music that they can play because they have to play a certain percentage, right? Now, that worked to your benefit, I would imagine, to develop
right.
a following,
yeah,
right?
And there's, yeah, and there's government funding for the arts in Canada. So there's certain kind of grant programs and stuff that help out musicians. Canada, actually, it's wonderful. It's a great sort of home base from which to grow, you know, as a band. And,
that's why I love that you turn your back on them to try to go to America.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
yeah.
play to empty,
Canada.
And
yeah.
play to empty bars.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I haven't heard the first two records, but they were very folk rock, as I understand, compared to the sound that we know you from this Hope album. Did you make a conscious decision to make this record that's out now the kind of bigger and better?
In a way, yes. I find like the melodies are in a similar vein. But I'm gonna be perfectly honest. When I first talked to the producer of this record, Dave Schiffman, who's actually from LA, the first words out of my mouth were, "I want to make a pop record." And okay. he said, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Well, listen to our old records. Tell me if you like the melodies, because I have more melodies, but I want to make a pop record." So that's what we set out to do. And then once we got into the studio and made the record, and like the old strumbellas kind of came in, for me it was kind of like a failed pop record. We didn't actually make a pop record, but We tried so hard to make a pop record that there's some pop elements in it.
It's because we actually all really love pop music. Like, we were all listening to 1989 and Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus and stuff in the van. So we were really inspired, actually, by that kind of sound. And so I think this is kind of a meeting between, you know, that sound and who we are as a band.
But is your music now no longer Pickle Buying Music?
Because that's the Pickle Crew.
Because
yeah.
I feel like that's a calling card.
Yeah. Let's do a farmer's market tour again and see how it goes.
Yeah. I have to be honest that I bought the record when it came out. I'm the one. And I remember, and I don't know why, I went back to it again recently, and I feel like I missed the boat on how great it is. Song by song, there's not a bad song on the record, you guys. I'm
Stop
so impressed.
Man.
I'm serious. There's not a bad song on the record. I'm so impressed with the songwriting and with the production and with the musicianship. It is a great album. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who do not do albums. They just do, hey, I like that Spirit song or the new song We Don't Know, and they, you know, they'll stream that. Go a little deeper into this Strumbellas record, Hope, you guys. It is terrific, back to front, and I mean that very sincerely.
Oh, that's very
Thank
nice.
You. Thank you.
This is 8:30 in the morning. It's not a great time to be playing. I know you're going to be heading down the hall to do that in a minute, but you are also at the Hollywood Palladium tonight. This is a tour with the Cold War Kids. That seems like a pretty good double bill. That seems like a real good fit for you guys.
Yeah, we were stoked to get on it, on the tour with them, and we met them for the first time a few days ago, and they were super nice. So, we're hoping good things.
One of the only bands that all six members of the Strumbellas can actually agree on. We fight, like, about music constantly, and this is one of the only bands we actually all like. Yeah. So it's good. It's good in that
way.
Now,
our crack research staff has found out that there might be some tickets available for tonight, and also there might not be.
Yeah, strong maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe check and see if there are. There might be some tickets.
Yes, LiveNation.com for tonight. The Strumbellas at the Hollywood Palladium with the Cold War Kids. That is a fantastic double bill. That is a lot of fun. Hey, do you guys do any covers in your shows anymore?
We used to do a lot of covers because we'd play like 3-hour sets at farmers markets and weddings and stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was a bit of a fight because I could never remember the lyrics.
Oh.
And the band started to kind of get mad at me because we'd play covers and I'd be like, "You know the sun is just the moonlight tonight." And just make up stuff. And so the band was like, "I don't know if we can keep bashing these band songs." So we actually don't play any covers anymore.
Really?
So if you don't write it, you don't know it.
What was your go-to? What was your big closer? The one that where you started to lose everybody, you got to go to this one because this is going to nail it.
Yeah, Modest Mouse, Float On.
All right.
Okay. That's the one we'd always play and get everybody to sing along, and it was really fun, and it's too bad we don't play it anymore.
Yeah, but it was awkward. Still never learned the lyrics.
Yeah. The lyrics are a lot of lyrics.
Yeah, like Simon kept singing. He would just call it Float Up, and then it was really awkward.
I crashed my car into a cup car. That's pretty good.
That's
right?
Good. That was nailed.
All right. Well, listen, we have to take a very quick break so that the boys can wander down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We are on Facebook Live right now, by the way, all over the world. Thank you for everybody that's tuning in for that. And everybody's going to be able to see the performance live as well. So we'll take a quick break, come back with the Strumbellas right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
We are live at the Red Bull Sound Space, and we are here with the Strumbellas. Very excited to have you guys here. Thank you for coming and performing so early in the morning. I know that's not ideal, but thank you for doing it. Which song are you going to start with?
We're going to start with a song called We Don't Know.
We Don't Know on K-Rock.
single day. And I know my darkness will never go away. But it's hard when you're living and you don't feel much, and you're down and you're hoping that things are gonna change. Oh, we don't know the roads that we're heading down. We all know if we're lost, then we'll find a way. Oh, we don't know if we leave, will we make it home? We all know this hope, then we'll be okay. And some say it gets brighter. We just have to wait. Mother, mother, I can feel your heartbreak running through me every single day. It's hard when you're living and you don't feel much, and you're down and you're hurting because you don't feel love. It's hard when you're living and you don't have much, and you're down and you're hoping that things are gonna change. Oh, we don't know the roads that we're heading down. We don't know if we're lost, then we'll find a way. Oh, we don't know if we leave, will we make it home? We all know there's hope, then we'll be okay.
About that.
That was very emotional for me. I don't know about for you guys.
That was great. Was Dave's mic on? We mentioned in the studio that his mic was off. Was it on or off?
His keyboard wasn't.
Was that right?
We'll talk about that after.
Uh-oh. Hey, I have a question. This is the Strumbellas in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. I have a question for you, Izzy, because that was some beautiful, beautiful violin playing. What's the difference between a violin and a fiddle?
No difference. It's just the style that you play.
Same oh, instrument. Gotcha.
Yeah, so oh, I play a little violin, a little fiddle, depending on the song.
In that song particular, though, it just adds so much emotional heft to it. It's just, it was very beautifully played, you guys. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, great. Now she's going to be talking about that the whole day.
So we just made your life more miserable?
Yeah.
The Strumbellas, by the way, as we mentioned before, are playing at the Hollywood Palladium tonight with the Cold War Kids. There may still be some seats available at LiveNation.com. Their album is out now. It is called Hope. And I know we have time for one more song. What do you think it's going to be?
I'm gonna put some money on that. It's a song called Spirits.
I'll see your bet.
It's actually Modest Mouse, Float On.
Okay.
Float Up.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I've been looking at the stars tonight. And I think, oh, how I miss that bright sun. I'll be a dreamer till the day I die. But they say, oh, how the good die young. But we're all strange, and maybe we don't want to change. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. But the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh, I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I spent a lot of nights on the road. I'm just waiting for my day to come. Cause I think, oh, I don't wanna let you down. But something inside has changed, and maybe we don't wanna stay the same. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. But the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh, but the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh, oh, but I don't want a never-ending life. I just wanna be alive while I'm here. And I don't want a never-ending life. I just want to be alive while I'm here. And I don't want to see another night lost inside a lonely life while I'm here. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. But the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh, but the gun still rattles, the gun still rattles. Oh,
how about that?
Seriously. I feel like somebody should applaud. I mean,
somebody should applaud.
Come on.
That was fantastic.
That was great. That Spirit song, by the way, has over 100 million streams worldwide, which has got to be, that's got to be $6.50 for you guys. I mean, seriously, congratulations. And you heard it here live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. The band is called The Strumbellas. You can go to their website at thestrumbellas.ca, on Twitter at The Strumbellas, and don't miss them tonight on stage at the Hollywood Palladium with the Cold War Kids. So much fun to get to hang out with you guys. Thanks so much for coming by K-Rock today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54. 5 minutes away from your tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center, and you qualify for a pair of ringside tickets. We'll tell you how you can win those on the way. But first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
I hope Hulk Hogan will be hosting whatever game you're going to be playing in the next segment.
I don't believe he is today. I think he's unavailable.
The Hulkster's a little moody, I got to be honest.
He doesn't care about this show, that's for sure.
He's sort of half-hearted at best.
No interest in participating in this program. That's sad. Here's great news. Look, we're all excited about the new Power Rangers movie, right? Yes. Okay, that's a given.
Okay.
But here's the thing. All of the Rangers are relative newcomers. Not a lot of big names playing the five Power Rangers.
Okay.
For example, who's playing Pink? Right? You don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. But here's how they're bolstering the movie. Here's how they're getting people excited. By the supporting cast that's surrounding the Power Rangers.
Okay.
For example, we know now that Elizabeth Banks is Rita Repulsa. Super villain.
Super villain, right?
That battles. You have a blank looking face. Does no one know the Power Rangers?
The Power Rangers.
Playing Zordon, who, of course, Kevin was.
The king of balloons. I'm not sure.
No, Kevin, Zordon was the giant floating head that gave the Rangers their mission.
It was a balloon.
He wasn't a balloon, no. No, he wasn't. Bryan Cranston will be playing Zordon.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And now we know who is going to play Alpha 5. And Alpha 5, Kevin, of course you know, was...
Is the robot.
Was the robot.
Oh, wow.
Was the robot friend.
And friend. Right. I wasn't done, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Remember Alpha 5?
No, I never watched a second.
Oh, come on!
Not 1 second of this.
That's why you weren't at MorphinCon.
Well, that could have been, yeah.
Give me a little Alpha 5. Get a little Alpha 5 for me, Chip.
Oh, would you really do that for me, Rangers? I'd never forgive myself if anything happened to you. My memory banks will never fail to retrieve this day's events, Rangers. It gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling in all my circuits.
Wow, did I make the right choice.
Alpha 5!
Holy cow. That's annoying.
Anyway, we just found out the voice of Alpha 5 in the film will be... Bill Hader, everybody. Bill Hader is going to be the voice of Alpha 5. How exciting is this news?
Oh, the best.
Ugh,
it's the best news ever.
Hey, remember that time Bean paid $7,000 to hang out with Scarlett Johansson?
Mm-hmm. I do. That was great.
And then didn't hang out with Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
She's got a new song out. It's a cover of New Order's Bizarre Love Triangle. It's on a charity album called The Time Is Now, raising money for AMFAR, the Foundation for AIDS Research. Here's a little taste of Scarlett Johansson's band Sugar for Sugar. No, that's...
What?
That's Yoko Ono.
Oh.
I believe it goes something like this. I like it.
Serviceable.
Serviceable. It's a shame you didn't meet Scarlett Johansson. You would have had a lovely conversation with her. I find your music serviceable.
Serviceable.
I've never seen one of your Avenger motion pictures, but I'm sure they're fine.
I would sweet talk like I do. That Bizarre Love Triangle will always be a Frente song to me anyway, so that's a high bar to reach. Remember we played it for a long time by Frente. That was the version that was so popular here in K-Rock.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of money Bean can donate and not do something... Britney Spears is hosting a cycling class next month.
A cycling class
to raise money for the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation.
Okay.
You can be part of her cycling class at a gym that she will lead, and she'll get you through the class. All you need to do is donate anywhere between $10,000 and $50,000 to be part of the class.
Bean?
You in?
I don't... You're the guy that throws money at these things.
Right. And...
First of all...
It doesn't matter that you don't cycle because you won't go anyway, so...
Oh, I guess if I don't go, then I don't have to worry about having to work
out.
Right,
right. Okay. So just give the money.
Well, all right.
Huh?
He said all right. Bean's in.
All right, good. And Forbes magazine, all they do is make lists these days. This is a list of the highest paid TV actors that they've released. Anybody want to guess who the highest paid TV actors are?
I'm going to say that it is going to be... what's that show that I don't watch?
Oh, that one.
It's a good start.
No, that's not him.
You're going to have to be
Big
more
Bang
specific.
Theory?
Yes, the Big Bang Theory. That's those are rich people on that show. So any one of them is Bean's guess. I couldn't name one of them, but one of them is probably
actually,
on the list.
It's not a bad guess because number 1 through 4 are the 4 main cast members from the Big Bang Theory.
No way. How much are they making, right?
Jim Parsons. Who plays Sheldon on that show?
Uh huh.
This year made $25.5 million.
Wow.
Good for him.
Johnny Galecki was second. Simon Helberg and Kunal Nayar, fourth.
Wow.
What are the chances Bean didn't look up this list after hours ago? Seriously.
There's a list. I must know it.
I didn't look it up.
I'm guessing here, but I don't.
The top four.
Let me knock out the top four with one guess.
I had no idea.
Speculation. It's just a wild hunch.
I just remember from last year being shocked how much money those guys make.
Number five, speaking of shocking, Mark Harmon from NCIS is the fifth highest paid actor on television.
Is that right?
Yep. Wow.
Number six, Ty Burrell from Modern Family. Well, he earns
well it. Well deserved.
Good for him.
Number seven, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Nathan Fillion tie at number seven and eight with $12 million each.
Wow.
Ray Romano is ninth on the list.
He's not on a show?
He was on HBO's Vinyl. Okay. And the money he still makes from Everybody Loves Raymond in constant syndication around the world earned him $12 million this year.
Wow.
He barely worked, right? Just he showed up, he had that one fake cocaine thing and then that freeway, and then he just went home and made $12 million. That's what he does. And number 10, also from Modern Family, Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill, 10th on the list of the highest paid actors.
Where's my favorite TV actor?
Weird Al Yankovic? I don't know. I don't
Ralph
know where
Garman.
He is. He did not make the list of highest-paid actors this year. Mm. He's on another list of largest testicles.
Oh.
I didn't realize that was a list.
Forbes
okay.
Branching out. They're branching out.
All right. Congratulations.
Real quick, though, Eric Stone Street, just outside the top 10, at number 11. Then Kevin Spacey at number 12. Michael Weatherly and Dave Duchovny tie at 12 and 13. And then Justin Chambers of Grey's Anatomy was 15th.
All right.
Go figure. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bruce Springsteen is 67 years old today. Jason Alexander is 57. Matt Hardy, the wrestler, is 42. And Anthony Mackie turns 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have a pair of tickets to the WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center, October 3rd. Plus, you'll qualify for a pair of ringside tickets. So if you want to call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll play a game and you can win those next.
We have a pair of tickets for you right now for a great event coming to Southern California on Monday night, October 3rd. It's WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center. We're giving those tickets away, plus you qualify for a pair of ringside tickets. We'll do that grand prize drawing immediately after this. Allie, you're our big wrestling fan here on the show.
Sure.
You going to go to this?
I will watch at home.
Allie is the world's most foremost authority in WWE.
that's not true.
Allie knows everything there is to know about WWE.
I don't believe that's even near the truth.
Do you not want to be in the same room as Roman Reigns because you're afraid that you will embarrass yourself by the mean things you will say and do around him?
Just straight booze as soon as he just walks in. Just
right.
Makes me so angry.
And he hates that, doesn't he?
He loves that.
Let's give the tickets away. The lines are stacked with WWE fans. This one's called Real Move, Fake Move.
Real move, fake move. Just like that. Real move, fake move. Just like that. Real move, fake move. Just like that. Hell yeah, Monday Night Raw's where it's at.
I like it.
All right, sounds like Omar got a good start on that intro. Then ran out of time. All right. The contestants are primed. Allie, you are hosting. What are we looking for?
And now, Allie McKay, the world's foremost authority on WWE.
What's going to happen here is I'm going to give you three moves, two of which will be fake. One will be correct. Just give me which of these three moves is the real wrestling.
Real move, fake move.
Okay. So this is a move that wrestling fans would have seen happen in the ring. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
Mike in Fullerton. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
All right, Mike, which of these three is a real move? Is it the Tongan Tickle, the Samoan Drop, or the Mexican Shuffle?
Ooh. I'd love to get a tickle, but the Samoan Drop is the real move.
Yes, it is.
Were you trying to spit game there? Is that what was happening with
Listen,
you?
Listen, Mike, I'm Mike, picking up what...
I'm a big Adam McKay fan. She has a voice. It makes me feel things on the air.
Okay. Wow. All right. Listen, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Plus, she's the world's most foremost authority on the WWE.
That's not true.
Mike, congratulations. You are going to Monday Night Raw. Who's our next contestant?
Justin in Pomona. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Justin. Which of these moves is the real move? Is it the super high stash, the supernatural crash, or the super fly splash?
I believe it's the Superfly Splash.
It
Look
is.
At that!
It is
real
indeed.
Move, fake move.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Actual wrestling fans.
Well, yeah,
they don't even realize. They don't even realize they're talking to the world's foremost authority on the WWE.
If you give me a heads up, I could put the echo on you, but you're not doing that. So, Henry and Hawthorne, hi.
Hello, hi, Jason.
Good. All right, pick out.
Okay,
the,
Henry.
Oh, leave Henry alone. Which of these moves is the real move? Is it the power bomb, the power grid, or
power
the? Okay.
Wow.
Yep. Don't
Look
even
that.
Need to say.
Fake move.
Got it immediately. You won the tickets. That's congratulations. Hold on. We're going to do the grand prize right at the end of this, too, for the ringside seats. Let's go to German in Corona. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, German.
Hi. Yes, you're on the air.
All right, hello.
This isn't a time to panic, German. This is just time to relax and play the game, okay?
I know. I'm just so happy right now.
Hello?
You sound it.
Tell your voice.
Oh, guys, we can't hear German anymore. I think we lost him. I don't think he's on the phone anymore.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, we were looking forward to talking to him.
Oh,
no.
He seemed cool.
What? Seemed like a cool guy.
Man.
I'm right here.
It's too bad. I guess we'll have to move on to another caller.
Stop it, you guys. All right, German, are you ready?
No, we can hear you. We're just messing with you.
I was getting a little static problem earlier. I was like, oh, man.
All right. No, we're good now. Here's Ellie.
Which is the real move? Is it the Big Lebowski, the Three Amigos, or the Tommy Boy?
The Three Amigos.
Nice.
Four for four,
done.
Ladies.
I mean,
four for four.
Fake move.
All right. Let's go to Robert. Prepared. Robert, no pressure, but the other four people have gotten it.
Yo, okay, cool.
All right.
Hey, Robert, do you like Roman Reigns?
No, I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns.
All right, Robert, I hope you win. Is the real move the yes lock, the poppin' lock, or the booty drop?
Ooh, the yes lock.
Yes!
Sorry, I got really excited.
You did, yes.
I love Daniel Bryan, so it's the yes lock. Okay.
I got to tell you.
Congratulations.
5 for 5 with the wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done,
it's
you
very
guys.
Very impressive.
All right, so all of the people that are on hold are qualified, and all of our previous winners from throughout the week are qualified for this grand prize drawing that we're going to do right now, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right.
Correct.
And who's doing the drawing? Is it Mr. Sanchez?
I just picked from the whole list that Dave just gave to me.
Okay.
The winner of the grand prize, you are sitting ringside at WWE Raw, Eddie Gonzalez from Los Angeles, California. Whoop, whoop.
Can I hear that celebration again? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Sergio Aguilar from Los Angeles won his tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers a few minutes ago. Your chance to win is coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, and then all throughout the day at the top of every hour, close to the top of every hour, I guess. A little bit after the top of every hour.
As close as we can get.
Okay. And then that's all the way through 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, grand prize drawing of all the winners today to go see the band one more time, this time in New York City.
New York City.
Thank you. I was waiting for somebody there. Rob is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, finally. They're bringing Magnum P.I. back, right? I mean, get out your tiger hats and your Hawaiian shirts. Hop in the Ferrari. Let's go hang out with Robin Masters at the estate. What do you say? Higgins! Higgins!
Oh, Magnum.
I wasn't in until your Higgins impression.
Thank you. Thank you. It's only one drawback. ABC has announced their new idea for a return to Magnum P.I., but this time, it's all about Magnum's daughter, Lily Magnum, who has taken over Magnum's P.I. firm. She's a sexy, young, hot P.I. in Hawaii. She's the daughter of Magnum this fall on ABC.
Oh, you.
Yeah, you can just hear the pitch meeting over at the ABC building. Okay, right. Magnum P.I., right? Everybody remembers that, right? Okay, we bring back Magnum P.I., but this time, wait for it. Magnum's a hot young woman. She's a 20-something sexy P.I. It's the daughter of Magnum P.I., whatever. But she's sexy this time. Yes, I like it.
Put it on the schedule.
Is Blue Bloods on ABC?
Blah Bloods.
CBS.
Oh,
CBS.
Well, then that can't even work.
Well, he might come back for an appearance or two.
I feel like he couldn't.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. Well, CBS would be like, nope.
You have network feelings?
Yeah. I have for years.
Ralph, you have railed against many ill-advised reboots over the years.
That's dumb!
I have not heard your take on the necessity for a Lethal Weapon TV show that now currently exists.
It doesn't need me commenting on it. Nobody needs that.
Okay.
Nobody needs that. We don't need new MacGyver.
All
we don't
of these.
Need, oh, hey, it's Twist. What's Twist? Well, it's the Oliver Twist legend, but this time, Oliver Twist is a sexy 20-something female who gets together a squad of pickpockets to fight crime in New York, modern-day New York City. I love it. But what about King Arthur? Wait, is he Camelot this season? He's a sexy 20-something graffiti artist who finds magic in his can.
Oh.
And he's got a friend named Lance and a sexy young cop named Gwen, and they fight crime.
You could be a Hollywood television executive.
Because I'm not making these up. These are real shows. They're going to be on television.
Smells like donkey ass.
Wait, that graffiti artist one is...
Oh, Camelot, yeah. Oh, you're going to enjoy that. Oh, you're going to enjoy Art, the graffiti artist who finds magic and is able to fight crime with his best friend Lance and his ex Gwen, who is a cop.
And the magic is in...
in his sprint can.
So it should be Camelot.
Camelot. Right? See what you did there?
Right?
Yeah. Gotta check that out.
Right. So this is or is not the golden age of television?
It is the golden age of panic. That's what it is. It's every studio saying, we need the name of something that people know from before. Now! Get me something! What is it? I don't care! This season, H.R. Buffett stuff. She's a hot 20-something dragon who finds a little boy in his magic flute. What does she do with the flute? Tune in!
Gotta check that out.
Right? Yes, you do.
He's in on all of it.
He loves him.
Hey, Panic at the Disco, right?
Right. Yes, very much so.
Heading back out on the road, they just announced their Death of a Bachelor tour begins February 24th at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, then wraps up on April 15th in Sunrise, Florida. In between, there's dates in New York's Madison Square Garden, the Forum here in L.A.
They're exceptional in concert.
They are really great. By the way, if you haven't seen it yet, check out their spooky video for L.A. Devotee, their new song. And it's a great song, but also the video features Noah Schnapp from Stranger Things. So if you haven't seen that, you should check it out. It's pretty cool.
Is this contributing to your fear, Allie, that the Stranger Things kids are overextending themselves?
I'm just worried about them, is all I'm saying. I just think it's too much, too soon, right now. I just want them to be able to be kids for a bit, just breathe a little. Hollywood will chew you up and spit you out.
Holy crap.
Gotta check that out.
A lot of feelings, Allie.
I do.
Is this from when you were on Zoom?
Yes.
Do you have bad feelings from all those years you were a cast member on Zoom?
It hurt. I mean, it was great for a while, but then those lows are low, Ralph. That's all I'm saying.
Today's celebrity birthday is Anthony Mackie. You know him. The Falcon.
Sure.
From the Avengers. Also other stuff, like Martin Luther King. 38 years old today. Wrestler Matt Hardy is 42. Jason Alexander of Seinfeld fame. What?
Huh?
Seinfeld fame. Not easy to say. 57 years old. And the boss, Bruce Springsteen. The man. The myth. The legend. He's got a new album out today as well called Chapter and Verse. Celebrating his 67th birthday today. Happy birthday, boss. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon. If you listen to K-Rock in the 5 p.m. hour, you will hear no commercials. Commercial-free 5 p.m. hour this afternoon on K-Rock. We'll see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
Roll another one.
I like ball play.
Just like the other one.
Oh, she's a mess. A total mess.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You see that? You see how white people do?
And I need another hit.
Goodbye, co-workers, or as they like to say at sea,
I think we nailed it, people.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
Yeah!
It could also be diarrhea.
I don't have another cent.
Go, period. Period. Yourself. Exclamation point.
But I won't guard that joint.
I love tight ends.
Oh, I know you do.
Just pass it around.
What can I say? My mouth.
Afraid of
program.
I mean, that was really great. I mean, sort of.
Nine. So much nine, it's almost ten.
I feel like it went pretty well.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm happy with it.
Your value to me, to my company now, is zero. Absolute zero. So take a walk. It's over.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So there it is now. I got to do my thing. You can do your thing. All right, I'll talk to you later on. Get up on out of here. Have some cake or something like that.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.
Gotta check that out.